yes, I will worship your holy name.
In the same spirit that we find ourselves right now, I know the spirit of God. We're going to bow our heads and pray. Oh Lord, we feel your presence tonight. Nothing that I've done, but your children have come, Lord, and they have created this atmosphere because they're longing for you. They want to be fed, Lord. They want to be led. They want to be controlled, Father. They just want to whatever you desire for them tonight. And they are coming in that expectation. And the atmosphere can tell that. They are waiting on you, Lord. Father, we haven't come here in vain. We came to meet you, Lord. And because we came with that expectation, you are going to meet us. You said, whatever two or three gathered together, I'll be there. I know you are here. Father, speak to our heart tonight. Father, teach us what we have to do, where we need to go. Lord, whatever, Lord, we need you to talk to us tonight. Because if you don't, then in vain we had gathered, and we know that we had not gathered in vain. You saw this meeting before the foundation of the world. In fact, you know everything from beginning to end. You know that this moment, this time, we will be here, Lord. Father, and you already made provisions for this service. All we had to do is just have the right attitude, mental attitude towards what you're doing, and you will not fail us. Lord, we thank you again for meeting us here tonight. Father, our expectations are high. I don't know what you will do, but it doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do, that's what I want. Whatever, they're waiting on you, Lord. They're waiting on the instruction. They're waiting on what to do and where to do and how to do it. Lord, we're depending. We're putting ourselves in your hands completely. With no reservation, Father, because we know that whatever you decide, it will be the best we can do. Because you are the perfect God. And this is your perfect people, because you are in the people. Thank you again, Lord, for being so faithful to your word. You said you will be here, and you are. So we appreciate you, and we love you, and we ask you to have your way in this service, in the name of Jesus. We ask you these things. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, musicians. Amen. You know, if you cannot preach in this atmosphere, I don't know where you can preach, you know, but it is you guys that make it easy for me. This is not easy, but it's you that makes it easy. Because all I have to do is get out of the way and let you guys do the work. You got to pull. And now, like this morning, you pull me every which way but loose. You know, and I'm trying to stay with my team, but I can't because you guys are pulling. So, you know, sometimes they say, but, you know, don't be dumb. Just stay with your papers. Well, you know, that's not how it works. I mean, we do a lot of research. We do a lot of work. We spend time meditating and studying. But you know what? When we come to the pulpit, it's just like I never study. Whatever you want to, you know, do. And if he wants to take me out, he can do that. This is his service. This is not my service. This is not about me or you. This is about him. So whatever he wants to do, he can do. And that's my attitude. Amen. So, talking about expectations, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the Son of God. Waiting, expecting, you know. It has some action to it. It's not something passive. Because you are, you know, doing all you know what to do as you wait. And when you're waiting, you're not sitting just waiting. You're moving forward in whatever you have to do. That's how you wait, you know. You do all you can do, mechanically speaking. You know, you pray, you read your Bible, you talk, you share the gospel, you do whatever you have to do. And that's how you wait, not just sitting down waiting. That's not what the word means, waited. But waiting for the manifestation, it's going to come. That is our end. That is what I will give you, expected end, the manifestations of the sons of God. Just wait. Be patient. Just continue. Do not dismay. Do not stop. You know, it's not time to stop. Just keep forward. Believing, expecting. And one of these days, it's going to meet you right there. Like Brother Brown says, you know, you're going to walk little, little until this word that is faster. Sooner or later, you know, you're going to catch up and you're gone. But that takes the people that have their mind made up. You know, it doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter who comes, it doesn't matter who not come. It has nothing to do about them. It's just me and God walks. And one of these days, like Enoch, he was walking. Walking. You know, of course, we made mistakes, we fell. You know, we go through situations, but that don't stop us. That is the thing. Nothing can stop a son of man to reach the destination. It's already there. It is not on you, but it is on God. God gave you the strength and the power to finish this race. You started it. Because he pushed you in the race. Without him, you don't even have a chance to start the race. But since you started the race, just for that reason, you got to finish it. God don't want to start something and say, I made a mistake. No, God don't make mistakes. So, for the manifestation, that is my expected end. Hallelujah. You know, live with him forever and ever. Tired of this place. Tired of sin. Tired of things. You know, the world is going into, you know, chaos right now. I mean, everybody's talking about apocalypse days. Everybody's talking about end of times where all the things are happening. And they might be right. So if they are that close and they can know that much with what technology and intelligence and skills and abilities, you and I, we should be even further away from that. Because he says, when these things start happening, wars, rumors of war, earthquake, look up. Because your redemption is near. And that is where we should need to be looking up. Waiting. Waiting. But I don't know what I'm going to see. Don't worry about it. Just look up. Wait. And continue waiting and praying. Because one of these days, if that's the attitude and that's the expectation, something's going to appear and you want to know. But if you're not waiting and praying and watching, then what happens? Nothing can happen. See? We just continue moving. And that's what we need to do. Let me read you a few quotes here. And then I want to go to some examples. Maybe we can let you out early. I don't know what that means. But in my dictionary, that means something different than what you think it is. Your expectations is different than mine. So, let's go to our first quote. Okay. You know, I read tons and tons of quotes. This is not the only one. This is just a few ones that I chose. Does God ever change his mind about his word? Let us bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, we are assembled again in your name with great expectation for the outpouring of the quickening power of God to bring us into the recognition. See, I told you the Holy Ghost will you yield and he bring you to the recognition, you know, of our position and place. You cannot get that unless somebody give you the instructions as to what you need to do, where is your place, your position, what you're supposed to do in church, how to do it. That all comes from heaven. All those instructions come from him. He says, and our responsibilities. See? So, there should not be no one here that don't know what your responsibility is in this church. Because if this is the body of Christ and God had pleasure in the body, he didn't pleasure just for you to find a hole to see where you fit. Well, I like this one. No, I like this position. No, I like this place. Oh, I want to be on top. I hate the bottom. Maybe it's smashing me down. Well, I don't care. You have to be at the bottom where all the weight is at. Some are made for that and some are not made for that. So find your position, find your place by the word of God. If you don't, you'll be miserable. Trying to fit in places that don't belong to you, belong to somebody else. It's like musical chairs. Somebody's going to displace you. You're trying to find some other place. It says, recognition of positions and place and our responsibility as being called, being a called people separated from the world, dedicated to God. Well, that's a mouthful. You know, where are all the dedicated to God tonight? Grant the Lord tonight that the blessings of God will guide us and direct us in the things we do or say, that he might bring honor and glory, and that's the results. What we want to do, that everything we do, we bring glory and honor to His name. That has to be His desire. You doing His desire. Me expecting something from God that is going to help me, one, in this journey, you know, to bring glory to His name. All that instruction, that's what church is about. Here is where you get your instructions. You know, just like in the army, you know, you come in, you get all the soldiers together, you give them all the instructions. You know, that way. No, the other left, not that right, the other left. That way, then we tell you the word to give you the instructions, what you need to do when you leave this place. This is a place to get instructions. And we are doing our best according to God's word. If He has calling us for this ministry, then He will have to supply. Sometimes I sit at home and I don't get an idea. I'm working on things. I continue working on things. If by the time I get to Friday, He says no, I don't worry about it. Let's start all over again, but you tell me what you want. That's the deal. I will open my mouth. You feel it. So if this is what you want, then let's start writing. But if it's not, if it's me, and at the end, you know, I remember Brother Branham one time, he had a big sermon of 2 hours. And when he got there, just about an hour before that, the Lord met him. He said, "You're not preaching that." So, I can imagine. You know. I mean, what do you do at that point? He went in and he opened his Bible. He got a verse. And that is the shortest sermon I ever heard from Brother Branham. 30 minutes. And 40 minutes with the introduction and ending. Whoa. Why? Then I started looking a little bit and about the circumstances before and after. The place, we're not going to, you know, we're not open for 2 or 3 hours. They needed to do what they needed to do and move within 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And that was one of the things. Say the Lord knew that. You ain't got 2 hours. You only got this, so we're not preaching that. So if we're not preaching that, then Lord, tell me what to preach. So Brother Branham says, I'm depending on Him. I'm opening the Bible and open my mouth. And Lord, you do what you need to do. Because He knows what you need. I don't. Second quote. There was a question asked here in the scriptures. And this morning I left off speaking on the word expectation. This is in the message yesterday. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says, "Now, I thought that you took home with you and searched through the scriptures to find out what to expect." You know what you need to expect? Then you see what He wants you to do. Whatever He expects is what you, the expectation is your expectations. See, God's word tells us what we can expect. So if I see a man or a sister or a brother and they're kind of fussy and, you know, kind of rough in here and there and not in peace with themselves, then, hey, we have everything that we have need right here. The word should tell you. You don't have to be guessing. That's the thing. You don't have to guess. That's the beauty of this. All you have to do is just yield to that and God do the rest. I mean, how easy do this get? I'm glad that they said that we are weaklings because we have to depend on something, on a crush, you know, because God is, you know, religion is because we don't know. We can think for ourselves. We don't know what to do. I already tried that one. I not really figured out. Don't work. What happened is whoever stuck in that way don't know. He hasn't experienced what I have experienced. You see, if you only have one life that you live, you know, we all got one life, but you live it the way you want to. If you don't have nothing else to compare, how do you know that you're right or wrong? The people out there, they're walking, like, in their own reality and their perception of what is right and wrong. That's all they got. If they don't have the word, and if God don't come in and, hey, it's another way and it's a better way, how do you know that your way is not better unless you try this one? So I tell people, you know, why don't you try it? And if you don't like it, go back to the devil. He will take you. I mean, you don't lose anything. You can always go back to your life. But I don't want to go back. I'm not having intentions to go back. I'm done. I'm going to go forward, even if it kills me. That's what it has to do. It has to kill you. You know? Spiritually. He says, "I will receive." We tell us what we can expect. And if we receive this word without any doubt, mixed into it, and that's the key, we will receive what we come for. Don't reason it out. Don't worry about it. Okay, but you don't talk right and you don't express yourself right. I had to figure it out. Don't worry about it. Because this is not a food for your brains. The soul is not what he's getting. And that is what is taking this. And, you know, God is working on you, not here. In your soul. And your soul, nobody knows but him. So don't worry if my speaking or my talking is all bent out of shape. God will do what he decided to do tonight with whoever. If he uses a donkey, he can use anything he wants to. See, that's not what you need to worry about. We don't have to worry about what I'm saying. You know, I'm not using the word in that kind of a sense to worry. But he said, Brother Brown said this morning another quote, without any doubt mixed into it. He struggled. The devil came, struggled with the death of wife and now little child, he is dying. He struggled. The devil said, hey, he won't listen to you, all you had done for him, and blah, blah, blah. You know? And tried to create what? Doubt. That's what the lawyers do when you go to court. If they can create doubt in one or the jury, just one, it takes just one. See, and that's their profession, and they're good at it. You know, I imagine when somebody is going to a lawyer, the lawyer said, don't tell me if you're guilty or not guilty, just tell me the story, I'll take out the rest. Because depending if it's the defender or the other one, you know. Because they know, all you they have to create is a doubt. That's all it takes. Because they're supposed to render a decision, absolutely, no doubt, absolutely, you know, this is it, I'm convinced. But if you have a speck, you know, like the scripture said, Jesus said, a speck of leaven will ruin the whole bread. Just one speck, that's all you need. But the man says, once, that's all right, we're human, the devil is going to come. That's not temptation, you know, he's going to come and he's going to do his thing. But you're going to do yours, and in that moment, don't worry about it, you're not sinning them. In that moment, all you, you know, we're humans. But at the end, when he gets done talking, you're going to say, you know, I got my mind made up. I don't care what you said. This is the way I'm following. So once that you take all that out, and I'm not saying that it's going to be that easy. That Satan comes and you say, bye. You're going to kind of lead a struggle. Be humans. But at the end of all that struggle, you're going to stand up. Something's going to give you strength. You're going to stand up and say, devil, we're done. That's it. And then you can move on to your promise, your expectation. And if we receive this word without any doubt mixing to it, we will receive what we come for. That's how easy it is. I don't know the details how it happens. I don't need to know. All I need to know is just throw myself out, come in the service, leave it outside, and then God will take care of the rest. I mean, how difficult is that? All we have to do is believe. Well, now, just as I expected. Now, if you come and say, well, just as I expected, well, we won't see a thing. Well, you won't see a thing. See, but if you come expecting to see the Lord, Jesus manifested himself among the people, ain't that what I want tonight? Is that what you want tonight? That he manifests himself? If that's what you're expecting, that's what you created, I must fearful do that. So he can feel welcome and we can see his glory. What else do you want? That's what you desire. So why not just do that? Forget about everything else. Right now, forget about everything else. All I want is just to create and believe so he can come and I want to see him. I want to, you know, that's all I want. Forget about the one next to you. But you won't see a thing. But if you come expecting to see the Lord Jesus manifest himself among the people, you will go away satisfied. That's all you want and that's all I want is to see him, is to hear from him. Talk to me, Lord. I want to feel your presence. You know, even though we don't love by feelings, but we feel it. He says, you certainly will. You will know that something happened, and you will know that. But if you said, well, I just expected just another evangelist standing up speaking, and then what? All you get, that's what you get. You usually get what you are looking for. That's why we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. You know, forget about what you're looking at. Says, so open up your heart tonight and take down the umbrella and just receive God in your heart and go away. Go back to your churches, wherever you are from, and tell your pastor that truly the Lord Jesus is the greatest healer, that he is the one who saves and fills the believer with his spirit and make him a new creature in Christ. The pastor said, how do you know that? I experienced it. Oh, well, you know, that's a mouthful. They will not understand you. They'll probably throw you out of the church anyway, but that's all right. That's the biggest favor you can do for me, is throw me out. Next one. Now, I start about four. There's a blank spot. It's about above the third and fifth verse there. I mean, let's start about the 14th verse, brother. Who has it open? Oh, all right. Start about the 14th verse of the third chapter of St. Luke there. Oh, brother reads Luke 3:14-16. And the soldiers likewise demand of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, see, that created an expectation. And that's why we come to church, because God has to create on us what do we need to expect from him. He says, an expectation, and all men muse in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them, "All I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, and the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." All right, what was it? The people were under such expectation of the Messiah to appear. Ain't that what we are now? And what the churches are? Empty. Where is all the professed Christians? Let it have something happens in this town. Let a bomb drop from that crazy rocket man, you know. And the churches get full. And it could be too late. It is now. This is the time. This is the set of time to have that expectation. We expecting the Messiah. And like I said this morning, like a pregnant woman, when it gets closer and closer and closer, it's not enough time to stop. You don't stop. I mean, it gets, you know, birth pain. You know, the word. Right now, we see the birth pain. And said, when that start happening, we're that close, you know, your redemption is near. So when you get closer and closer and greater, the expectation gets, ain't it? Ah, and then you run to the hospital and you got in the wrong car, or you forgot the, you know, the package, you know, the little suitcase that had everything in there, and you had to run back and everything goes crazy. I don't know. I didn't do that. But anyway, I seen everything goes crazy. People forget, and then they get in the car and they're going to the hospital and forgot the wife. You know, go back. That's how crazy it gets. I know you haven't done this. I haven't done that either. I've seen it, but I don't know. So, you know, here we are, you know, the greatest day, time that any human being. This is the closing of history. This is the best time. A lot of those old saints, prophets, they look to live in this day if they could. This is the day. This is the day that the world is going to see something that they never seen before. Not even the old saints. 2,000 years ago. It's called the resurrection. Even more than that, it will be the change of a body without dying. Huh? Just Jesus. I mean, how many people have done that? But see, this is the day, this is the time for that to happen. You know, that other age before us, that wasn't the time. Now this is the time. And you are the people. So you have to be an expectation. Every day, do your work, do whatever. And then when you're done, you run back and read your Bible. You know, Brother Van says, you know, the little sister doing the dishes. Once you get done the dishes, and go back to have communion with God. I know we cannot do that all day long. We got to work, you know, and the bus will fire us if we don't do our work. And we're not being loyal or even, you know, right if we do that, stealing the money and not doing no work. God knows that. Don't worry about it. Do what you need to do. But every time you have in your car going and coming, you can put a tape. You can sing a song. You know, this is not about how long. The quality time is could be just this much, and you can get just as much as 1 hour or two, three. It's for quality time. We like to spend quality time with our children and with our wife. What about with him? You know, go to your closet. Find a designated place that you can be away. Because you don't want to be interrupted. Not even the phone. And then you will get all the instructions that you need. And people think you're crazy. Because I don't understand, you know. Among all this chaos and all this happening, what's going on with you? You know, you're so peaceful. You know, why? I already got instruction. I know what to do. Wait upon the Lord. See, he will not disappoint me. He says, okay, the people were under such expectation of the Messiah to appear. And that's 2,000 years ago. Where we should be today? In the same place. Even more. When they seen this great anointed ministry, we have seen that. And they asked Brother Banner, is the bride going to have a ministry? Sure. A big anointed ministry. He says, the great anointed ministry of a man coming out of the wilderness and having his campaign and going back in the back in many men that was his own followers said, he's the Messiah. They was expecting it. But see, they didn't expect something from somebody that could not deliver. You know, God will vindicate his word. This is not about, you know, following anybody. I'm not saying that. God will vindicate his word. You know who you're following. People might think you're following a man. We're not following no man. Even though God has to use a man, but we are following that voice. That voice that you said he will speak and we recognize. I don't know how, and you cannot explain it. But I heard from him. It's that little voice that spoke to me. I was in the Baptist. Before that, I went through the Baptist. You know, God was dealing with me. I was to a point that some of you have been before, and you said, maybe you are now. I don't know. You know, when you get to the bottom of the barrel and there's nothing you can do but, you know, the bottom of the well, and you're hanging on your rope, and the only thing you can do is tie a knot and just hold on. You don't give up. We never give up. You tie a knot and you hold on. Because he waited, Jesus waited until the darkest time and hour when you cannot even see your nose or your hand in front of you. He do that because it will be no question when it happens who did it. But you have to make a knot and hold on. Get up, keep walking. Get up, keep moving. Get up, go to church. Get up, pray. You don't feel like it. I feel bad. I don't care. Get up, make things right, and do what you need to do. Because there are someone here that can turn the light on. And that's what you're waiting. That's your expectation. I don't care what's going on. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to be, you know, moved from my position. He said he will meet me. But it's in his own terms and not my terms. And sometimes he let it get that dark. But when it's time, there's somebody here. And I know that. You know that. So that's what our expectation is, high to wait. And people say, you're crazy. I'm waiting. You're crazy. I will do this. You know, the devil tries all kind of things with Job. And this call, supposed call friends, they wanted to tell them, you know, all kind of things. But that is not what he wanted to hear. It says, and they was expecting it. Next one. Okay. That's it. That's my last one. I gave you some during the team. Let's go to some examples. Right quick, you know, give me about an hour. Let's go to some. It's early. Wait. Where are you going to go and what are you going to do? Go to Dairy Queen. Stay here. You don't have nothing better to do. No, that's right. You have better agree with me. You don't have no better thing to do after church but eat. So I'm trying to keep you from getting diametrically, you know, challenge. I learned that word today. Diametrically challenge. The guy was kind of a little heavy, so couldn't get in his car. In fact, it was so big that he had to get some grease to put them all over him and run. Get a good start, so open the door and hope that he's sliding there. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was to get out. You don't have no, you can't run. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Anyway, I got three examples. God has a good sense of humor. Don't. The purpose is not to joke, but God has a sense of humor. Well, look at me. I told you, God has a good sense of humor. My. Let's take three samples of expectations, just so we can see how this unfolded in the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of samples. But I decided, you know, let's look at a Christian and a Jew and a non-Christian. Hell, what a pile, huh? So let's go to 2 Kings. This is an unbeliever. Because I don't care who you are, Christian, non-Christian, unbeliever, you will not have your way. God is the one in control, regardless if you believe or not. You can say there's no God. That don't mean there's no God. There's no God for you. You know? But there's a God. And sooner or later, he's going to have his way. And one of these days, when they wake up, it's going to be too late. I didn't bring the scriptures, so you will. Well, 2 Kings 5, let's start there, and then we can read a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 5, and you can put it up, then we, I better look at it because I don't have any papers here. Hold on. Okay. Now, Naaman, he says, for the captain of the host of the king of Syria. Now, he's a man, a captain, a well-respected, honored positions. In the world, though, not with God. A captain of the host of the king of Syria, he wasn't even a Jew or a Gentile. He was just, well, he's a Gentile, but he was not a Christian. And he probably didn't know anything about Christianity. Whatever he saw on the Jews that were captives, was a great man with his master and honorable, see, because by him the Lord has given deliverance unto Syria. You know, you don't have to be a Christian for God to use you. When God is going to do what he needs to do and what he purposed to do, he can use anybody to bring it to pass. They might don't want to give God the glory and the honor, but God will use it. I remember that little lady in the airplane. I know you heard this before. She's next to an unbeliever. And she was, they are praying and reading the Bible. And the guy says, I'm going to get her, Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm reading the Bible. Would you believe that stuff? Yes, I believe that stuff. Are you sure? And blah, blah, blah. He says, I heard you talking, that you wanted some oranges to the whatever waitress, whatever you call them in the airplane. I don't know. So anyway, you know what I'm talking about. So, and they don't have, and you're praying there that God will give you oranges, So anyway, she went to sleep, and the guy said, "Well, I'm going to play the crank. I'm going to go and get the oranges that she desires, put it in her lap." And then when she wake up and she start with all this God stuff, I'm going to tell him it was me. So that's what happened. She wake up. She said, praise the Lord. And the guy said, I got those for you. Oh, praise the Lord. And the guy said, and what? The God can use the devil to deliver my oranges. God can use anybody. Oh, but mama, those scriptures, Mark 16, what it is, the last commission for the church, that's not inspired. Praise the Lord. And he's a guy that went to the seminary, well, intellectual. Mother, stop doing that. You joined that group. Yes, I went over there when I was sick, and I know you were dying, and now you lie. So what happened? Well, I went to the little place out there, and they believe in healing and blah, blah, blah. And they pray for me. And here I am. Oh, mama, that scripture is not inspired. They were put in there for who knows what. Praise the Lord. Don't do that. I told you not to do that. You don't know what. Those are a bunch of ignoramus. They don't know anything. Well, praise the Lord anyway. If God can do that with an inspired word, what he can do with an inspired word? See? And that's the attitude. The attitude is that, God can use anything, and God has used people through history, presidents, people in power, leadership. God is the one that put and takes for his own purpose. Trump is not there because he wanted to be there. If you believe that, then you wasted your vote. No, I'm not saying that. God, I don't know what the purpose is. I don't know the details, but I know one thing. The reason he's there is because God allowed it for a purpose. What is the purpose? I don't know, but we're going to see the purpose. So don't criticize, because God is the one that put and take. Nobody, in his own opinion, strength, and force can do anything unless God will allow it for his own pleasure. So you have nothing to fear. Everything is working for you. God ruled a whole world for 72 people. A whole world for 72 people. Oh, okay. So, the Lord has given deliverance into Syria, and he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Next. And the Syrian has gone out by companies and had brought away the captives. See, God used Syria to deliver his own children. So don't start criticizing when something happens that you don't understand. Because Let's see what God is doing. Just wait and pray and let's see what God is doing. Out of the land of Israel, little maid, and this little maid that was, she was a Jew, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her, Mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Another way, I know somebody. I mean, I'm Jew, and we believe in prophet, we believe in God, and I know that, you know, there is hope for your husband. Next one, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to, you know. Now, unbelievers cannot do this. This is a people that are not even, they are idolaters. They believe on themselves and whatever they can do. You know, they don't depend on God. They don't even know who God is. But God can move pieces. For some reason, God is moving. Now, this guy did something that God himself gave him the desire to go and deliver his people. Now, he's going to reward him. Right. Even though he's not even a believer. But God never forget the good things that they do for somebody else. So, king of Israel, and he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver. And silver and 6,000 pieces of gold. And then changed his raiment. Okay, next. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. Now he's in another place. You know, one king sends a letter to the next king. You know, diplomatic. You know, that's how it is this way. That's what Trump don't want to be diplomatic. But, you know, there's certain protocols that you have to do. You know, you just don't walk in front of a king. You know what happened? There goes your head. You know, even God says so in the Bible. You know, when Ruth, Esther, you could be killed. So you have to be properly introduced and follow protocols. You know, and he brought the letter to the king and Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, to Elijah, you know. The king sent it to the king of Israel, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Who do you think put a lot of expectation on those men? They didn't figure it out by themselves. They don't even believe there was a God that will heal. Unless somebody else, see, you got to be always sensitive to situations. You don't know what God wants to do with you in a certain place at a certain time. You got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, because that little maid, maybe that was her whole purpose to be there and to be called by God. Maybe to be used for that moment. But I don't know when the moment is going to be, but you have to wait and pray and ask God, whatever, Lord, you want to use me, whatever is left, use it for your glory. And you just keep walking like you mean it. You know, you cannot be saying that and not live the life. You have to show God, hey, I want to, by submitting to God's will. So she was in the right place at the right time. Had to send a guy all the way there to bring this little maid here so this could happen. I mean, God is moving pieces. It's not man moving pieces. I said the other day, you know, I don't know, I'm in Puerto Rico, my wife in Tucson, I didn't know it was a Tucson, and she didn't know it was a Puerto Rico, she didn't know what that was. So when she met me, where you from, Puerto Rico? And I said, where you from? Tucson, I never heard of Puerto Ricans. Well, hold on to that thought. I said, you want to know the proof that Puerto Rico exists? You're looking at it. That was wise wisdom from me. I said, do you know that I can prove to you that Puerto Rico exists? Here it is. Do you know that I can prove to you that God sent a message? And I am a son of God? Here it is. Because that's what Peter says. Joel, this is this. And that's the same position you are today. That message is you. That message came for you. You are the message in flesh. So when somebody asks you, what is the message? You're looking at it. Oh, that was my answer then. You know? So, there's no way in heaven I could have figured out this thing. I'm way out there. I don't even know anybody here in the United States. Never been in the United States. How you going to figure this out? How will you put this together? Astronomers, whatever. The odds that will happen. If I try, or she try. And even if she try and I try, and we would never hook up. You know why? Because God knows the beginning from the end. He knows where he dropped the seed. And well, I don't know why God dropped my other half so far. I wanted to be poor. See, you never get what you want. You expect that, you know, I was expecting that, you know, I'm married in Puerto Rico, I've been in Puerto Rico, and everything is fine and dandy, and I can enjoy my island, probably the hurricane also. I'll probably be tied up to a tree. That's what I do when all those winds, you got to tie yourself up to a palm tree if you're outside. Well, what a thing to look for, huh? What did you do this weekend? I was just tied into a palm tree. Anyway, there's no way. I mean, how can you figure that out? You cannot figure out who's your mate, your real one, your real half. But see, God will work pieces. Brought me here, I brought her there, and then she tried 3 times, and finally I gave up. Okay? That's another story. I don't want to tell the story. I don't want to get in trouble. Anyway, so let's see where we are. So God is moving pieces. God has everything under control. Don't worry about it. Don't fear. Don't worry about Satan and what he tells you. Just get back, you know, get over that stuff and let him get over. Actually, you're already over that. Recover a man of his leprosy. Therefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. Then next. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, you know, that he sent to the king saying, you know, Elijah did that because they didn't send him to the prophet. The little maid said, I know a prophet. He didn't say, I know a king. But nevertheless, you know, people mess up and make mistakes. But Elijah said, why? What did he call me? You know, why did he say so? I am the man of God. And he was. So he rent his clothes. Said, what did he say to me? What did he advise me? Warn me? No. Send the king saying, wherefore the hell that I rent my clothes? Let me come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. See, not a king, but a prophet, you know? Because that's the mouth of God. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Next. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. By now he didn't want to meet him. There could be a couple implications there. He was a leper, so the Jews, you know, that was Levitical laws. You know, they had to go in the other side if you're walking in this side, and they had to cry out, leper, you know, unholy or whatever. That was the law. So one implication is that he didn't want to, you know, by law, you cannot get touch or see anything like that. You had to separate. But then he sent a messenger. Or it could be the only implication is that already Elisha knew this man, heard about his stories. A man that grateful, you know, man of valor, you know, respected, you know, high places, you know, and he figured, you know, we need to do something because you don't come to God that way. See, there's an approach to God. This is a man that is not even a Christian, but regardless, God will not do nothing unless he's approached the right way. I don't care, Christian or non-Christian. That could be the other implication. He heard so much about it, and he said, no, this guy, his head is too big. We need to, you know, get a pin and inflate him and come down to earth, and maybe we can deal with him. Too proud, you know. Go and wash, and then he says to the servant, go and wash. And Jordan 7 times, that was one of the Levitical laws in, you know, go and wash 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Next, but Naaman was wroth. You know why he was wroth? Because he didn't come the way he expected. Don't we do that? And we get upset, and our day goes down to, you know, because something happens, and it didn't come the way I wanted it to happen. But if it's going to happen, it has to happen his way. And when away, behold, thought he will surely come out to. See, that's what his expectation. These guys, you know, in high and mighty places, that's why they expect you to come to them. See? And pay your respect to a man that is, you know, in high places, honor, valor, and captain of the armies of a king. I mean, you come to me. I mean, he made at least the effort to go. But he was expecting that Elisha will come, you know, and pay his respects and do something. He says, he didn't even come out to me. So he was kind of that's not respectful. I mean, I expected some respect here. I am who I am. And stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. And strike his hand over the place and recover. See, this is his expectation. I get there. Elisha will come. I mean, he had it all figured out. Don't we do that? Got the whole thing figured out. And I will go there. And I start, he comes. He greets me. He makes me welcome. He pay homage and blah, 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 blah. And then he wipe his hands, you know, and over whatever sickness, whatever he's at. And I will be made recover from my leper. Well, that sounds good, isn't it? That sounds real good. Of course, you know what I'm talking about. You have done that many times. You think you have certain expectations and it don't happen because that's not what God is doing. You and I need to yield to his wisdom. He says, next, are not Abana and Par, whatever rivers, Damascus. Wait a minute. He says, I come this far and you're going to tell me to get in that muddy Jordan? First, you don't pay your respect. Second, you send somebody. Third, you tell me to get in the muddy. I have better rivers than you have. If that's all I needed to do, I could have done it there. He missed the whole thing. But God has to bring him to recognition that God is in control. It has to be the way. I don't care if they are believer or not. They are going to come God's way, regardless if they believe it or not. And he's going to humble them. He's going to have to do that. This whole situation is to humble this guy. Yeah. So he says, I got a better church. You know, what did I have to come to yours? And anyway, look at you guys. You know, 80 people, whatever. You know, what do you got that I don't have? You know, we are rich. We have everything we have need of. And they put the word outside. And they think, they're sincere, but they're wrong. He says, what do I don't know. Come this far, this guy treated me wrong, and now I could have done that. If that's all I needed to do, I could have done it at home. No, you can't. Don't stay home listening at your tape. That's good. But I mean, watching the internet, you know, their live preaching. That is not better than coming here and experience the Holy Spirit. Oh, I can do that at home. No, that's not better. He said, why do I need to come to church? I got better things than that. What is it? What's better than coming to church? Fellowship with brothers and sisters. Love God and let God come down and make love to you. What else is better than that? And when he gets done, you get lost in it. And you don't even know what happened. You woke up next morning and that's just the best experience. I was talking to him about that anybody can have. You know? And God would have slain you. Don't worry about it. He's not going to shame you. And somebody had to carry like I had done with my wife many times. Carry him to the car and take him home and put her in bed. You know? And she don't even know she's out until next morning. And she will be, in and out. I've done that. I've been there. I know what it is. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking because I heard. By experience, I know how it works. And I love that. One, the first time I came, God called me to this message. They filled me with the Holy Ghost in one instance. Well, refresh me with the Holy Ghost. It took a whole week. In fact, everybody I saw that week, it was good to me. They could have kicked me. They could have punched me. And whatever, I could have just probably kissed them in the cheek. I mean, the whole week, and I kept, I didn't care about it. But I couldn't do my work. I mean, you can do anything. You lose your mind. Yeah, that's what Brother Brown told sometimes when they take him from the pulpit, when he's just passed out by then, take him to the car. And sometimes Brother Green used to tell us that he asked Brother Green, do you know any jokes? You need something to bring you back to. You cannot live there, knowing this body forever. And I couldn't. After a week or that, finally I came down and I said, I love it, but I can't handle it. I need a body change. This is too much for me. I mean, how can you live there? And, you cannot live there when you are here. Your body is here, but everything else is there. And you have not experienced that, but you will. Because when the Spirit of God comes and you yield to the Spirit, and you expect the Spirit to take you over. But if you don't, you will never find out. But that Spirit will take you, and even probably you wake up the next day and you don't know what happened. Don't worry. There's no headache like when people used to get drunk. Yeah, you're not going to have to take tomato juice or whatever remedy they give you to get rid of the hangover. There's no hangover. That's the good thing about it. You continue, and you don't have to worry about what did you do or you didn't do, and you don't remember what you do to some. There's nothing. God will not shame you. Are we just got past that? I'm asking you. Just consider it. Are we went past to have that kind of experience in our services? I remember you. But I don't remember you, John, but I remember the bottom of your feet. That's all I saw. You and don't laugh, you and Joel. It does stay sober or what? That's it, we mature. I use their name because they know I love them. What happened with our young people? I hope I didn't scare them this morning. If I do, I apologize. So Naaman, let's go back to Naaman because we're running out of time. He says, I got a better place, and I got a better pastor, and I got a better religion, whatever excuse, you know. I invite people to church, they come, and suddenly you don't see them anymore. Well, they think they have something better that we have to offer. But we are not offering anything. He's the one making the offer. We just tend to sell it out, you know, with our lives. Of course, may not wash in them and be clean. What do I have to come this far? Your church is too far. I think it's another church that is closer. Listen, my friend, this is not about how close or how far. This is our life. Do you have life? They are then fine. Maybe I get there, it's closer for me too, but that is what we're looking for the life. Where the carcass is, that's where the life is. But they don't know that. You know, they don't know that. But they make all kind of excuses, but I understand. Believe it or not, that's the way they expect things to, you know, to happen. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away. Oh, he did not only went away, he went away mad. I wasted my time. You wasted my time. And that little girl, when I get out there, she's going to get it. I mean, well, see, that's what happened. Where we had the wrong expectations. But something is going to change his mind. I'm glad. Next. And his servant. He must have been Jew, you know, because they bring all these maids and servants from the captivities and they put him to work in the houses, carry, you know, my golf bag, you know, my army gear. And I spoke unto him and said, my father. That's a title of respect. Like saying president, doctor, you know, it's a title. That show respect, compassion, you know. If that remind me, when I read that, I haven't not read that in the Old Testament. This is the first time that I'm reading these things. But remember that Jesus told them, do not call anybody father. Because there's only one father. I think he came from this because the Syrians, the Chaldeans, and the something, they had this custom to call their masters father. And I think Jesus said, don't do that. There's only one father. Because I always wonder, that was because they was taking the place. These people are unbelievers. And you know, like this big system that they have in China, and you know, these people are gods to the people. That's how they set themselves, and they believe. That's their mentality. So, you know, you're looking for my welfare. You're going to take care of me. You're going to help me. You know, you are my father. That's what a father do. So they look at Naaman like a father. That was his title. But Jesus said, don't call anybody father. That's just one father to begin with there. But I know that the guy was trying to calm him down. You know, somebody needed to. He was ready to go back. And you know what would happen? No healing. He probably died a leper. God takes a little, whoever it was, we don't even have a name, in the right place at the right time to say the right things. Amen. See? And that's what we have to be sensitive to, the leading of God. You know, what did you expect me to do in this situation, Lord? So he says, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would you had not have done it? Okay. All he's saying is, that did not line up with your expectation. You wanted something greater than that. But don't you think that if that would have been so, he would have told you it was something, you know, that you had something greater than he had? Wait, let me finish that. Something else left on that. Would thou has done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean? So he's saying there's nothing. That a prophet, I mean, the prophet is the mouth of God. That is God speaking. So what is greater than that? What's greater than God speaking to you tonight? I mean, I'm speaking, but what? Honor to have him. That's why we came. I need to hear from you, God. I need a word from you, God. You know? And he said, and his servant came near and spoke unto him and said, okay, the next one. Then when he down and deep in saw seven times, he said, well, I ain't got nothing to lose. I'm here now. Might as well do it. I mean, what do I got to lose? I came this far. Might as well just, I mean. So, see, his attitude started changing. But it took another person that God will use to soften him. You know? Say, so, you know, what do you got to lose? So, according to the saying of the man of God, it has to be by the word of God, by the scriptures, by his word. Nothing else will work. And and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I don't think we need to go further than that. Something else happened. So, let's look at another example. Let's go to, Matthew 19. Let's go to Matthew 19. This is the young, rich ruler. You know the story, so we don't have to read it all. 16. He comes to Jesus, and he says, what shall I do to receive, eternal life? And behold, one came on and said unto him, God, Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have what? Good question. Hey, I wish everybody asked me that question. You know, I like to answer that question. I like to bring people, to the Jordan. Maybe they don't want to come and deep, but hey, that's a great question. Next. And he said unto him, why call me thou good? There is none good but God. This is God. But if it is thy will to enter into life, keep the what? The commandments. Oh, he says, wait a minute. I'm good. Now follow the thing. I'm good. Because he said, I haven't committed murder. I have not committed adultery. I have not steal. Four bear witness. What are you talking about? I'm good. So next, honor thy father. I've done that. Mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Oh, check. So if that's all I got to do, I made it. No, it's not by the law, by words and things. Thou young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. God never rebuked him. He was a Jew. The Holy Spirit has not been given. It's not just still under the law. He was doing exactly what he was supposed to do, that what he knew how to, by the law. God did not rebuke him or tell him right or wrong. He was right. That's what he's supposed to do. He was doing that. That young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? So, hey, if that's all, I'm good. Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, go. This is for you too. Now listen what he's saying. If thou will be perfect, how many want to be perfect tonight? And the rest of you? Okay. And I didn't say, show hands. Okay, I forgive you. I expected that you would raise your hand, but see, I should have just told you to raise your hands and then you don't have to expect anything. And thou will be perfect, mature, lacking nothing. That's what perfection means. Not that you're not going to make any more mistake or do it. Lacking nothing, go and sell all thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Next, but when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great what? Let me tell you, this is where I must stop. I mean, with this one. This wasn't about money, our possessions, even though, this was about making a decision. We face that every day. See, like Judas. Judas said, they told Judas, Jesus said, go and do what you're going to do quickly. Did that mean approval? But we know that wasn't approval. We know that now. But what do you think Jude thought? Well, he didn't rebuke me, and he didn't say I was right or wrong, so I must be right. Now, listen, that's what we do. As human beings, I've done that. I ask God for something, and I wait long enough. Well, so far he didn't say yes, or he didn't say no. So what do we do? You pick whatever you want to choose. And usually we pick the best one for us, the one that we like. So you said, wait a minute. Huh? He didn't say I was wrong. And I had seen him, you know, escape. I mean, this is, yeah, you're probably right. So he went to do that. Now, this young ruler, the same thing. Jesus didn't say you're wrong. He didn't say you're right or wrong. I mean, he just heard the man. So now the struggle comes. You know, the reasoning and the logic, you know, we go through. We all humans, we do that. But at the end, it's a word that has to overcome. So, unless we want to do that. So here comes, you know, and he starts struggling with the thought. See, he left it to him, up to him. Okay, this is your choices. You can go doing that, or you can do this. And you can have it all, perfection. They said, well, you told me that, you know, I'm right. You never rebuked me, so then I'm okay. Because that's what he wanted to begin with. If he really, really, really wanted to follow him and do what he said, he would have done it. But that was not his expectation to begin with. He came with, okay, I want to know. I want to have some kind of assurance that I'm okay, that I'm going to make it. Well, he did. Because he said, well, he never rebuked me for what I do, so as long as I do this, I'm fine. And this, I don't want to do that. And that's what happened to you and I. We got to make choices every day. Are we going to do what he? God don't come sometime and tell you, you know, hey, give you convictions, you know, and you pray and you wait. But you know what? If you don't get an answer, that don't mean a yes. That don't mean a no. So you have to wait. I remember when I was back when Brother Doug started his first church, the Reno one, and he wanted me to. I wanted to. You know, I felt the leading to go, you know. But when he started, I didn't go with him. After a month, I said, well, not on the original time. Then from there, from Park Avenue, he moved to Valencia, the Kmart. But I already was going to this one, in and out, you know, Hamburg, in and out. Then I went to the other one, and I joined him for 30 days. I left where I was, and I joined him because I felt the leading to do that. But, however, I've been asking God, I'm praying. I need to know. You brought me this far. I need to know what you want me to do. And whatever you want me to do, I do. I didn't receive no answer. So I didn't take that as a yes. And I didn't take that as a no. So I had to sadly, you know, I told Doug, you know, I want to, but if God don't tell me, I ain't moving. I already learned enough about God. I'm not going to. I mean, he hasn't said yes or no. I can't. I want to, but I can't until he says yes or no. And no answer don't mean yes. The young ruler said, but he mean probably okay. And Judah said, okay. Because that's what they wanted anyway. That's what I didn't want to go that route. I want to know exactly. Once I leave where I am and I, you know, commit myself, I'm very loyal. I wasn't going to go back. And God knows that. So I had to sadly tell Brother Doug, sorry. I try and I've been praying. If I get any different answer, Doug wrote me an email, very disappointed. And it doesn't matter what he said, but he was disappointed too, that I made that decision. Well, years later now, here we are. Because God moved all the pieces. Not then. You see, I don't know the details. I don't know why. I just know that if I was going to follow God this far when I was, I needed to follow him all the way. I could not rely on he responds to me. My daughter, Monica, used to ask me sometimes, Dad, can I go here, you know, with the young people? So, next week, on Thursday, so whatever. I said, okay, well, I need to know, Dad, yes or no. Okay, let me pray about it. But I forgot, really, actually. I'm human anyway. I got a lot of things in my plate. So Wednesday coming, Monica comes. What happened? Can I go? Oh. So what I used to say is, well, I haven't heard good or bad, so it must be all right. But I mean, that's all I knew at the point. I know better now that you need to pray and you wait. And if you don't get a response, don't move. You have to be certain of God in your life at every step that you take. Now, God can take whatever mistake you make and I make, and he can make it good for his own purpose, those that love God. But that's a default. You don't want to do that all the time. I mean, we have to come to perfection, to maturity, that we are walking with God every day, Sister Cornelia. It was sad. I wanted to, and I know Brother Doug was disappointed. But here we are. God has a perfect time and a perfect season. Yes, I had that longing in my heart, and Brother Doug had it too. But it has to be God time. God has to probably take Brother Doug to certain training, and he had to take me to certain training. Because if it's not, what would happen? I don't know. A lot of people came and left them and tore up the congregation. What would happen if I was there? God knows everything. When I started this message, I went to Brother Isaac Noriega. See? But God didn't want me there. But since I didn't know much about what's going on in this message, you know, I was fine. So a month after that, God said, well, don't you try something else? You know, things happen. I said, try something. I did. I went to Brother Green to try something else. And never left. So everybody stopped talking to me. Now I'm wondering, what's going on here? They love me. They call me every day. They visited me. And now I don't even hear from anybody. Well, I find out what the reason is. But, you know, all I'm saying is, I know I have experienced God in my life, in my walk, that I have an idea, what do I need to do? See, I know my expectations are. But when the young man, see, and that what happened to him. Let's go to then one more, Gentiles. So the problem and the issue was not the money. The issue was you have a choice. Now you decide. See, God is not going to tell you do this. It's your choices because it's your choice. One more? No. Let's see. Let's go to Acts chapter 5, and you know this one. And we go to verse 9, somewhere on there. Then Peter said unto her, you know, this is the people that sold the property and then decided to renege on some of the money and blah, blah, blah. And then they went back to church. And Peter said, hey, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? I assume that the reason they sold the land is because they seek God to help them to do this so they can help. And then when God did, came in the scene, sold the property, sold the house, sold the car, whatever we're looking for, you know, and you promise, and they promise, and we promise, behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband, you know, are the door and shall carry thee out. See? We cannot play with this. We cannot play with God. I'm not trying to scare you. This is not something to scare you into it. Not you guys. Maybe somebody out there, we need to scare you into it. But, you know, but all I'm saying is God expects something from you. And what God expects from you to do after he helped you and done this thing and help you sell your house that you're trying to sell and get a new one and move to Tucson, it's all in God's hands now. What? God, when I do this, I promise you. Oh, I know you've been there. Me too. God, if you take me from this bed, I promise you. God, if you take this from, I promise you. But what happened? I went to jail, ministry for a year, more than 5 years. And I talked to the guys. And this guy told me, you know, the reason I'm here is because God cannot get hold to me out there. So I got to be stopped. I said, sure, you got it. Well, that was his first time. He says, I'm praying and that God and help me. He came to the meetings because I want God to do something for me. It wasn't my fault. I was in the wrong place at the right time. Okay, I believe you. Let's pray. Well, the guy was out in a month. Praise the Lord. And in another month, he was back in. I said, what happened? Well, now it was my fault. I made a mistake. So now God brings you back in to deal with you again. You know, didn't you learn the first time? You pray, you told God you're going to do all this. What happened when you went out? What happened to all those promises? Well, I said, don't tell me. I know what the word means. Yeah, he's back in. I don't know. I left and I don't know what happened to him again. And many people like that. I went to prison and I preached to those guys and they know that, you know, it looks good in the records. I'm Brother Vince, you know. That they're going, you know, to service and receive God and they become a new creature, whatever, and it looks good and they behave until they get out. Once they get out, I never seen them again. Never seen this guy that promised me they were going to go to church and all this stuff. I don't know where they are. But that's all right. You know, I hope they're in a good place doing the right things. Amen. So, expectation, you know, it has nothing to do with your Nothing has to do with your opinions, my opinions. Nothing has to do with your interpretations. it all has to do with God. And tonight, I'm almost finished, right on time. Tonight, I want you to understand that this is where we are. Having a communion with God. You know, I know that we come to church because we want to be with God. And we are with one another. But if you are with Him, communing with Him, you're communing with the rest of us. This is a body move. So, we take care of each other. You know, I've grown to be fond of you guys. I hope you feel the same way that I feel. You know, been years. We've been together. And the more we together, the more we grow. And the more we learn about each other and love tend to face out those things that I don't like about you and you don't like about me. And we love each other anyway. And the things you said and you don't say, you know. I was telling my wife today, you know, the things that you don't say, they're just as bad as the one you said. Because sometimes not saying something when the time comes is just as bad as saying something that is not right. So you have to be led by the Lord to do certain things. But we take care of each other, see? And the only thing we can do that is let God put His expectations in our heart when we come to church. Stand. Stand. You guys, I don't know. It's me. I know it's me. You're trying to figure out. You want me? No, you're not finished. No, you're not. You got another few hours. No. Hey, I don't tell you, give me 5 more minutes or half hour. Oh, I'm ready to pull, you know, park. You know? Don't tell Brother Doug that I said that. Because I enjoy service. You know, I don't care if you park or not park. You know? And I know how we are. Oh, just give me a minute. Then I look at him. Okay. And then it's half hour later. Your minutes in your world is different than my minutes in my world. Don't tell it that. It's, I love Brother Doug. And I don't care about time. Because when you come to a service, there's no time. God has no time. Do you have time? You're going to put God on a time when a being of no time? How do you do that? Help me. Because you cannot do that. Now, you can come with the right, with the wrong expectation that a service should last 30 minutes or 20 minutes. But who is that expectation? And show me, oh, well, Brother Brown, a lot of these guys told me, Mexico, Brother Brown says 30 minutes and that's all. I said, okay. He was coming late to church. The service already started. I said, brother, if you're going to do that, you need to do the whole thing. Don't start telling me that, you know, that I got 30 minutes when you're coming late to church. When Brother Brown said you should be in church at least. So if you're going to take it all. But don't take what you like and you choose. And that's what we do as human beings. We choose and take. We cannot do that. Either we take it all. We don't take nothing. Either we love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, or we don't love God at all. God will not take, you know, halfway. Either all or nothing. You know, so we expect that God will do what He promised. He will deliver what He promised. And that's my expectation. I am in His hands because I know He's over vindicated Himself throughout history. I mean, how much more you need vindication do we need? See, people are blind. That's all. That's the way it goes. But I tell you what, for you and me, the reason we are here is because whatever He promised, He will do. How? He will do. He says He will give me a new body, and I will be with Him forever, and that is my expected end. I just have to be faithful. I have to be doing what He wants me to do, be whatever He wants me to be. I read you last week. Brother Man says, you know, don't stay home. Right? If you have the love of God in your heart, you like to fellowship with who? With your, I didn't say that. He said that. And maybe that's the only quote. I don't know if I found no more quote. Maybe He said something else different places. But that's what He said. So if you love God, you have to love the communion and the gathering and the fellowship. Because God is not only in you. If you love God in you, you have to love God in everybody else. Or that don't make no sense. It's only you love the God in you. Then what you're telling me that I don't. Okay, we're all independent. I love God in my way. You love God in your way. We come to church. We check, and then we go home and we don't have to worry. What kind of religion is that? It's a dead one. Because I want a religion where I can be part of the body of Christ. That is what we. I know that expectation. He has that expectation. He wants a body. He calls a body. So how can I say, you know, well, you know, it's just me. I'm four and no more. How can you even go that way when you know what God expects from us? So, I thank God for you guys, and I thank God that for your faithfulness. I thank God that maybe we don't understand everything, and things happen in our life and to all of us, but we still here expecting, you know. It doesn't matter what's going on during the week, but you're faithful enough to say, hey, God, you promised. You said it. I'm here. I'm here to collect. But I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be waiting, watching, and whatever, but I'm going to be looking for you. Because if you're not looking for him, how are you going to see it? I know, I don't know how you're going to see it, but you're going to see it. I know I got some ideas, you know. But you don't want my opinions. But those that are looking for him will see him. And those that are not looking for him, they will. Too late. You know, it's sad, but hey, that's God's world, not mine. And I'm happy, and I'm just so proud of God choosing me. I mean, I didn't choose myself. You didn't choose yourself. There's nothing in you. Israel, you know, that was the worst nation that God could have chosen, the rejected one. But God said, I can do something with those guys. The war can. The world man, they are your boss and military, and they can do nothing with you, but God can take you and do something for you. The army can put a new uniform in you, and you can steal the old person with your old bad habits and your bad attitude. God can give you an old rag and make you a new person in an old rag. And that's what I want. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. And as you promised, Lord, we are expecting you to come. That's all we're expecting. It's not that hoping or a wish or no. The reason we came is because you beat us, and that we have an expectation on that, because you beat us by your Holy Ghost to be here, and we're expecting for you to say something to us. Father, we love you. Father, there's just no words. Thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you for what you are doing right now. Father, I know sometimes we make mistakes, but oh God, you're still the love of God, your election in each one of us. Father, it's just beyond comprehension. But I thank you, Lord. Father, one of these days, the world will know that there is a God. We know that already. But the entire world, good, bad, indifferent, they will know. They will bow their knee and they will proclaim that there is a God. And I know already, thank you, Lord, for giving me that revelation. I wasn't looking for it, but thank you because you look for me. And you put me out of the muddy clay. You put me out of the mud. But I was, and you cleaned me out, and you set my feet on that rock to stay, and you filled me with your Holy Ghost, with your own life. Wow. What else can anybody want? Thank you, Lord. I was not even expecting that much, actually. But thank you. I appreciate you tonight. Lord, can you come and do something special for your children? I just pray, Lord, that you are pleased with our walk. I know we made mistakes, but thank you. Because if you please, it's because you're having your way in your people. That's all. It is you in us doing, bringing us to that perfection, Father, maturity. That we recognize you 100% in our lives, and we trust you 100%, and we confide in you 100%. Lord, bless those that are not here tonight for whatever reason. I'm not here to judge anybody, but bless them. And they're sick or tired or whatever, Lord. Send the Holy Ghost, convict those hearts, touch their bodies, whatever situation it is, Father, and bring them back so we can be together again as one body. We ask you this thing in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, let us worship. We got time. Let us worship and invite the Spirit of God to finish what he started. If he don't, we wasted our time. We already said it's time to do that. Why don't you welcome him? And let him have his way in you. Amen.